Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on over there?
I'm very good indeed, Christopher. I am pleased to announce that I survived the night after eating what can only be described as an entire panettone that is about 3 months old. Now, the thing about panettone is it is bread, it is cake. I'm not really sure. I jumped into the words, it is there, didn't mean it. It feels like cake, tastes like bread, and I think the booze preserves it somehow. But panettone seems to just last for, like, you know, the half-life of uranium. It lasts for ages. And I had it last night, and I thought, this is going to be fine. And then 2 a.m, the tummy did rumble, and I thought, oh dear, I'm in for an absolute evening of it. To be fair, I did top it off with what can only be described as a little picky sort of supper. I was doing a late football ramble react show after the Brentford-Manchester City match last night, those eagle-eyed among you will figure out when we've recorded the show, about 6 hours after that. I thought, you know what, I need a bit of food, and the only food in the house was a load of very good brie, some very bad piccalilli, some very old melon, and just a big can of ginger beer. And I tell you what, it went down very well, but it didn't help the problems I was having with the panettone. So I hate to... it's not like anything spectacular has happened. I was just having a very grumbly tummy, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to have very much sleep here. So Chris, if I'm talking absolute nonsense, which I believe I am right now, that's why a panettone tried to kill me. The people of Italy tried to kill me, Chris.
You tried to kill us. This is... terrible start. I can't really talk, though. I went out last night to some sort of restaurant, ate loads of chicken, and then last night I broke out in a rash, which is why my face and neck... I don't know if you can really see it on camera. It looks like I've been in a tussle with a bear, which is the... I should have gone with that story instead.
You look like when you're...
Yeah, it's weird. Everything's like all round here.
When you're in the video game Mass Effect and you do something awful, your face starts to change. It starts to sort of like get more evil looking. You just look like you've gone renegade and you become more evil.
Bond villain.
Yeah, exactly.
So Bond villain.
When I went to Japan once, I think the day before I met you on one of your journey across Japan's, I don't know what had happened. I had drank heavily, I think, in the night before, so that may have helped the whole situation. Okay. But also, I slept on like a tatami mat, and I'd never really experienced a tatami mat before, and that gave me like really puffed up face, and like I couldn't see out of one eye, and I didn't really know what was going on. I rolled into eye hospital by accident. Not even by accident. I walked in and I googled eye hospital, went there, and they and a nurse just saw me completely free of charge, and then I just left. Just a confused man in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Niigata, I think it was. They go, my face. I don't know.
I've never heard of this happening. Mm. I've never heard of anyone who had like an allergic reaction to tatami. It's probably just the alcohol.
It's very much travelling for 13 hours and then getting on it and then having to recover afterwards. Yeah, it was a bit of a strange one, but I think it might have just been that. But a load of Peritone later, I was fine. So Chris, I recommend just getting loaded up on Puritan and sleeping for about 3 days.
Very good. Well, I've tried to have a few days off this last week, and it's had mixed success, right? To take some time off, you've got to, like...
Have you met Mick Success? Do something. He's a lovely lad.
Mixed success. It sounds like a shit self-help series from the 90s on VHS.
Doing a TED talk at an
mixed
airport.
Mixed success. But I started playing, for the first time, a video game in 5 years.
My God.
I think the last video game I played was Uncharted 4. I'm playing, finally, Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh.
It's bloody brilliant. It's amazing. Have you played it? It's so good.
Yes, I have, very, very briefly. I find those games, or that game in particular, quite difficult because I just spend all of my time just cooing at how beautiful it is. They did something really special. It wasn't just about throwing more polygons, throwing more shaders at the wall, or ray tracing. It was just, they just thought about things, and the art design and the art direction in that game is just something else. It makes such a difference.
Well, it's so good, it made me want to go to Japan. And, you know, I've already been there.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the way they did it is, like, all the plants, all the trees, all the grass, it's all blowing in the breeze. And very cleverly, whenever you're heading towards your goal, the wind sort of pushes all the plants and all the trees in the same direction.
Right.
So it kind of, it's practical, it's genius, but it just makes the whole world look beautiful. And the swordplay mechanics are amazing. It's very, like, cathartic and fun, chopping people up. It's just so good, and the story's kind of cool about the Mongolians turning up and their ill-fated invasion of Japan, kind of the stage where they got to the island of Tsushima. I do want to go to Tsushima now and just run around in samurai armor and with a stick, just waving it around and see what happens. I imagine, like the Mongolians, I'd be thrown out very quickly out of,
like,
Japanese territory.
Natsuki when he had his pirate kit and sword. When you took it out. I would say that, like, do you reckon that some enterprising individuals probably just got a bit of old suit of armour from their granddad's house, go down to the docks where you sort of land in Tsushima and just sort of wear, do you want to wear this? 50 quid. I'll take a picture of you for 50 quid in this stuff. Because you see it in tourist traps, don't you? All around Japan.
Yeah.
You can put on some Japanese armour and wave a stick around if you want.
I think I've only done that once. And it just felt a bit wrong. It did feel wrong. The armour is so heavy and ridiculous. But yeah, I don't know anybody who's been to Tsushima. And I did toy with going there at the time the game came out. It was around COVID time, though. And people were warned not to go to islands because they didn't want, you know, infected folks from Tokyo and the mainland
going
to islands and contaminating them. Infected.
Right. I see.
So, yeah, I should go down there.
Oh, yeah.
Have a poke around. We've got a story this week from Larry from Brooklyn, who says, "Hello, Cod, Chris and Piranha Pete. First off, loving the YouTube version of the podcast. I just had a newborn, and it's been a great way to pass the time while feeding the baby during the witching hours of the night." Congratulations, Larry. Well done. My cautionary tale, what a question for you. Back in 2010, I took up a friend's open-ended invite to stay in the two-bedroom apartment that his company furnished him with, staying for 2 months in Nara. With such a long visit, I settled into familiar routines, like going to a large supermarket every week. It being the winter, my skin getting dry, I wanted to pick up some lotion while getting groceries. Not being able to read the labels, I grabbed the first thing that looked like it'd do the job. Within a month or so, I was horrifyingly pale, nearly translucent. What the hell? I chalked it up to winter until my friend, with a good laugh, noticed I'd accidentally bought skin whitening lotion.
Oh,
Jesus.
Dear.
Oh my God. I'm hoping I'm not the only one who's made this blunder. What's been your worst mishap that's come from a lack of understanding the language? Larry from Brooklyn, who's considerably whiter now. As cock-ups go, that's pretty spectacular. I didn't know white skin whitening cream even really existed. But I guess it makes sense given, like, people like to have pale skin, right? Especially kind of like traditional, the old geisha used to do it. People still like to have pale skin and not get a suntan.
Yeah.
What a cock up.
The sort of new romantics of the 80s. They liked a bit of it. Boy George, etc. I would say that, like, obviously skin whitening is very popular in countries where I guess, like, sort of caste systems are weirdly important, and Japan isn't doesn't eschew that. necessarily. And I think in Japan, don't they sort of say that the lighter the skin, the less likely you are to be working outside, aka the less likely you are to be a member of the lower classes. So obviously, the lighter you go, the better. Over here, very different. We are starved of sunshine and we want to be as dark as possible. But
it is weird. That is a very good point, that the working class folks in the farms used to get like tanned to bits, and we revere it in the UK.
You could do with some reason. With your big red face. You could do some skin whitening.
Yeah,
big red face, man.
Certainly around here, my dodgy Bond villain-esque face.
Yeah,
I mean, worst mishap, probably just screwing up the kanji with the toilets going in, or like a hot spring, when I didn't know what the kanji for men and women were, and it. And also, it's done by colour. And I always forget what blue is. Blue is like women, red is men, I think.
Right.
On the curtains.
Needlessly
I sort
confusing.
Of wing it every
we've,
time.
We've got a system. The rest of the world's got a system, guys. Get involved.
Absolutely. But Fuji. We climbed it last year for the first time in, I think, like 9 years or something ridiculous. Maybe 10. And it was incredible. This year, it might be a little bit more tricky for those of you wanting to climb it. And I know that quite a lot of you guys do want to climb it, given that you're inspired by Natsuki. If Natsuki could do it, anyone could do it, in theory. But Fuji is a victim of its own success, as is popularly known. And this year, they're actually putting a toll and some restrictions on the number of people that can climb it each and every day. Isn't that right, Pete? What's going on with Mount Fuji?
Yeah.
Will you climb it?
As you said, Chris, I mean, they are charging a toll and setting a daily cap on the number of people who are allowed to ascend the famous Mount Fuji, if rumours to be believed. The local authority in charge of managing the mountain. Imagine a local authority. What do you manage? Yeah, a couple of public toilets in Shinjuku Park. Shinjuku, go on. I manage Mount Fuji, the most popular and famous landmark in Japan that ever lived. The local authority in charge of the big mountain have decided to address the growing issues on the famous peak. The Yamanashi Prefectural Government has imposed a daily cap of 4,000 climbers on the popular Yoshida Trail and introduced a toll due to the strain on existing facilities. Chris, is a toll going to stop you climbing Mount Fuji? Bearing in mind, for many people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
I don't think it will, because it's not going to be... I think the toll they proposed isn't even that much. It might be something like 2,000 yen,
right.
$20 or something.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't work.
No.
But it's a cool idea. I think they should do it in general, right? Because it's a great way to kind of fund Mount Fuji. And I think Japan needs to kind of find better ways to monetize its tourism. Like there's talk of there being like a toll on tourists coming to Japan in general. Not a big one. We're talking like a dollar or something.
Right.
But when you've got 35 million tourists coming, that's a nice bit of revenue. You can
35
use
million pounds.
To improve services.
$35 million.
And I think you know, it's a good idea to try and cash in on people climbing Fuji. Because it won't put them off. But I think a daily cap might be effective, like if you can't actually climb it. But I don't know how that's going to work, because there's somebody going to be someone with a clicker counting the people climbing it at every gate. Because it's like three or four different trails to the summit. So how's that going to work?
Well, I don't know. You just have somebody, you have a little boy or a little Sherpa running up behind people, and as they're distracted because they're out of breath because they're climbing a big mountain, you pop your hand in the back of their bags and you steal their money. That's how it works. But like they're going to be charging an entrance fee to upkeep the hiking trails, and also they're going to be building some shelters as well in the event of an eruption, which I didn't know they didn't have, to be quite frank. I don't know what kind of shelter you can build for any kind of eruption, for crying out loud. But they are prohibiting climbers from beginning the journey between 4 p.m. and 2 a.m. so that it's not like a 24-hour thing, which is quite interesting. It's important because it's obviously, as I said, a massive landmark for Japan. But I'm kind of with you on that one, Chris. I don't think it's going to massively change things, because when you, the last couple of times you've been up, or the only two times you've been up, you've said that it is just it's not a pleasant thing to do, because you're kind of limited by the amount of speed you can sort of pick up, because people are just in some kind of weird sort of queue. It's like a big queuing system.
Yeah. No, I mean, we took the secret trail. I can't remember. It might have been the Fuji Yoshida Trail, Fuji Nomiya, one or the other. But like it was less people, but incredibly rocky and dangerous route, and not as pleasant to undertake in some respects as the main one. But I think the main issue is just tourism leads to litter on Mount Fuji. And they're quite wary about there just being a trail of shit going up to the summit, basically. But, like, yeah, it's a cool idea limiting people climbing from 4 p.m. They don't want that anyway, because most people do start climbing midday. They go up and then they stay at one of the huts. And I think they like it when folks stay at the huts, because it makes the huts economically viable, and they know there's not going to be a disaster. Like the time I went up the first time and slept on a rock. And it was quite dangerous in some respects. I don't think a shelter is going to save you from an eruption of Mount Fuji, though. I think that's wishful thinking. If Mount Fuji erupts, run. Run down the mountain very fast.
Run like you've never run before.
Like you're, yeah, fuck, it'd be terrifying. I had a nightmare about Mount Fuji erupting recently.
All right.
And it was awful. It was really quite vivid and scary.
I don't like it when you have kind of predictive dreams. I don't like it when you have these dreams, Chris, because I'm scared it's all going to come to pass.
Yeah, it was really. I dreamt that Charlotte and I were on a trip to like Atami, this little town near Mount Fuji, and then there was an eruption, and like this like pyroclastic flow came down. It was like lava and explosion. It was fucking horrible.
Ugh.
And then I remember I looked out over the bay, Tokyo Bay, and then these plumes of like. Water exploded up into the sky as the continental shelf like gave way, and it was like a Roland Emmerich movie, but maybe better. At least there was an actual plot. Bloody Roland Emmerich and his dodgy films.
I mean, I would say, unlike me finishing the night with a dodgy Pantone, you maybe just cut down on the cheese.
I did eat a lasagna. That might,
you got to kiss the Mondays. You are, after all, Garfield.
But I did enjoy climbing Mount Fuji last year. Everybody on the team enjoyed it, and I would, even if you have a passing fascination in it, do it once. Do it. Come Japan. It'll be like the defining moment of your trip to Japan, probably. And when you get up there at sunrise and you look down over the edge, it makes it all worth it, especially if you go with a good friend who's 50 and a massive smoker who you don't expect to get there. I still can't believe Natsuki did it, honestly. One of the highlights of last year, though. Check that out. And do you think you'll ever climb it, Pete?
Yeah, I want to, but as always with stuff like that, it's one of those undertakings that you're in Japan for a limited amount of time because it's a holiday, and then you're like, oh, I don't really want to waste 2 days doing this. I could just go and eat some coolish in 7-Eleven.
You could eat coolish up Mount Fuji. You can have your cake and eat
too
it.
Too cold up there. Coolish. Yeah, don't talk about cake. I've told you, don't talk about cake with me, sunshine.
But there you go. It'd be interesting to see. In February, right, we find out later on this month what the fee is going to be. I think the only way it would stop people is if it's like over $100. Then maybe it might have an effect. But I doubt it'll be that high. I don't think they'll want to put up a barrier like that. But we'll find out. We'll find out and let you guys know. We'll be back in just a moment with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
Got a message from, who's we got here? Alex and Ricky from Texas. Fantastic. Hey, Chris and Pete. My fiancé and I are both interested in visiting Japan for our honeymoon later this year. And we're both short guys with really long hair. Just a wonderful sentence. In our home country, we often get mistaken for women when our backs are turned, which makes for some really interesting social encounters. My question is, do you often see men with long hair in Japan? Is this from the Kings of Leon? I feel like this might be from the Kings of Leon. Do you think this will be an issue for us? Cheers from your dear ones, Alex and Ricky from Texas. Chris, do you see men with lovely Pantene Pro V long hair in Japan?
No, you don't actually at all. Like, it's very rare. And if they do, they have like a cool ponytail, like a samurai. So maybe if you come over here and do that, that'll go down well. But like, no, it won't. You will be a rarity. But you won't be looked at. You won't be discriminated against. It might be a topic of conversation at best. But no, I wonder what kind of issues Alex and Ricky predict this will lead to. Like, you are not welcome in my bar. Your hair is too long.
Your hair is too long.
It's getting in the customers' eyes. It's getting their drinks.
It's getting caught in the tube. Well, it's getting caught in the metro as you go around the Yamanote line.
I don't think you have to worry.
I think humidity is going to be your biggest issue, to be quite frank. Don't go during the summer months. Your hair will start to sort of find a life of its own. Be like, couple of Medusas rocking around the place. Yeah, I don't know how you would send it to us, because I don't get the emails at source, but I would very much enjoy a picture of your beautiful long hair. Send us it on Twitter, please. I want to inspect your lovely long hair. It's very aspirational, Alex and Ricky.
I think all listeners of the podcast should just bombard Pete Donaldson's Twitter. With photos of your hair.
Yes, please.
Just do that. He'll love it.
Longer
love
the better,
it.
Please. Can we beat... It's like, have you seen that Tim Robinson Think You Should Leave sketch where the man gets caught under a car because he's got a big long ponytail, and he starts screaming when somebody threatens to cut it off?
God. It was like a thing though, wasn't it? Like the samurai, if you cut your hair off, it used to be like really shameful to have your hair cut off. They made a big scene of it. I learned that from The Last Samurai, which is where I learned all my knowledge of samurai.
Don't cut my hair!
A single white man saves all of Japan
single-handedly
from itself. Good old Tom Cruise.
Good old
Tom Cruise. We got one here from Inga, who says, "Dear Chris and Pete, I'm soon applying for a PhD position in my country. If my application's accepted and I get an opportunity to do a writing retreat during my PhD, I think it'd be exciting to do it somewhere in Japan. If you could stay anywhere in Japan for a month or so, just to write and sightsee, where would you go? Best regards, Inga." Oh, I would be tempted to go towards Osaka and Kyoto, maybe, because you've got like cool, like so many cool things in one small space. Kobe, Kyoto, Osaka, Nara, all within an hour radius, right? And then you can get to Tokyo and have a look around here as well. Has my camera gone out of focus? What the fuck?
What's happened?
It's like a curse. This stream is
just
cursed.
Your camera's just what? Suddenly just
look at
decided.
Me. It's because like my face is so scuffed from the rash or whatever.
It can't
it's
detect
like,
your
we can't
face.
Detect. That did it. Stupid technology. Yeah, no, I'd go Osaka, Kyoto, that kind of neck of the woods. That threw me off, though, Ingar. My face
sorry,
is
Ingar.
Was unworthy.
Face is suddenly, Chris is just camera. Used to staring at himself lovingly in his laptop screen, and this has upset him terribly. I'm so sorry about that.
Disaster.
But yeah, fantastic.
Where would you go? Where would you go for a month?
I don't know, man. I
PhD.
The problem is, if I had work to do, you can't go to a city. Not with my constitution. Not with my obsession with drinking and bar rock alcohol. Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you kind of want a bit of peace and quiet, but you also kind of think, well, maybe I want to suck up the inspiration from the city. I'd probably choose the Laval Hotel District of Shibuya. Yeah,
you definitely would.
Never get any work done. Get to about the end of the month and go, I've not done them. Okay, thing. Oh dear.
On a scale of one to shit location to write a PhD, the Shibuya Love Hotel District.
Give yourself time to get over the old jet lag, though. I think that's the major thing. That'll be the major issue.
Absolutely. Got one last question from Habib, who says, "Hi guys, I recently got back from my first trip to Japan. I absolutely loved it, but there are precisely two annoying things about the country I don't think I've ever heard you guys discuss. Maybe you can shed some light on the following. Number one, why is the toilet paper so awful? Like, I love Japanese toilets, but the paper is rubbish. Also, as a Londoner, I was sometimes annoyed with how slowly people walked at busy train stations. People don't seem to be especially fussed with just stopping in the middle of the walkway and blocking it. I found it insanely illogical, weirdly selfish. Have you observed the same negatives, or do you have any gripes to add? Love the everything else about Japan, Habib. I don't think the toilet paper has never been an issue. I've never heard that one before. You must have gone to a very odd hotel. I don't know. Maybe the public toilets aren't as good. They're quite thin and cheap. But yeah, I've never heard that before. And people do walk quite slowly. I do find that, though. They do walk quite slowly, often on their phones, not looking where they're going. And that is a little bit annoying. But that's not really a Japan problem. That's a local. That's a fucking 21st century problem, right? What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that... That I've not really experienced terrible situations with the toilet paper, to be honest. I think that unless you've kind of been peeling off bits of the wall, because like a lot of the walls are made of paper, so maybe you've been confused and wiping your bum with the wall. Don't do that. Never do that.
Stick to the bidet like everyone else.
There are toilets everywhere, which is great. Like everywhere you go has a toilet. It's amazing. It's for toilet fans.
It is
the promised land. But I mean, people have to look after their bottom line, their line of bottoms, so to speak. And you can't be spending money on the good stuff on the old Andrex, can you?
And the best thing about toilets in Japan is there's so much variety. You've got the most futuristic toilets ever, and then you've got a fucking hole in the ground. And luckily, they phase most of them out. But if you're feeling daring on your trip and you want to have an awful experience, do try the old Japanese traditional style toilets. Don't do it.
Don't do that.
I still don't know how to use the damn thing after this amount of time. I've done a good job avoiding them. Don't think I've had to use one in like 8 years. So, yay. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or leave a comment down below here on YouTube if you're watching. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.